Clinton Beach Union High School District Board of Trustees will please come back to order. The board's been meeting in closed session and we took one action. And that is the board by a 5-0 vote voted to uphold superintendent designee's findings dated October 1, 2025 and to deny the appeal pursuant to AR, that's the Administrative Regulation 1312.1. At this time, please stand. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. Dr. Bryan, would you please lead us in the pledge? Okay, the first order of business then after the pledge is to approve the minutes. Does any member have any adjustment to the minutes? If not, the motion has been made by Ms. Hernandez, seconded by Ms. Carey. No additions or corrections, please vote. The vote is 5-0. Board committee reports. Mrs. Henry, would you please start?
Certainly. Since our last meeting, I was able to attend remotely the LCAP meeting on December 18th. I was also able to, in person, attend the January 12th PTSA meeting of all the presidents, along with Mrs. Cassery, here at the district office, where we had a very similar report on formulating our cell phone policy as we had with the ASB prior to the winter break. Today, I was able to attend at the Orange County Department of Ed, actually along with Mrs. Tracy Green. The Capitol Advisors gave a budget perspectives workshop, and not surprising, it's looking like we're going to have a third budget maneuver, to the tune of $5.6 billion. Last year, I think it was 1.6 or something along that, 1.9. So 5.6 is a bit of a big increase. The only good news that we had out of the meeting was basically at the federal level. Actually, this morning, a deal has been struck that the Senate version, not the House version, which is not good, was going to be put forward and probably will be finalized. And so, even though it sounds not real great, but when you have to be happy about flat funding, I'll take flat funding any day over what we thought we were going to get. So at least at the federal level, we're feeling a little bit better about that. But it's early days, and May revise will tell us a lot more. But if the maneuver were to go through, 5.6 is not tenable, and probably CSBA will follow suit again. Unfortunately, we're only just now going to court with CSBA from 2 years ago, so it doesn't really move as quickly as we'd like it to. So, but I think, you know, our advocacy efforts in the past have been very successful, and we just have to work towards making sure that
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Just briefly, I had a chance to meet with our students from Westminster High School in Marina, who are currently serving on the Westminster Youth Committee. So they actually presented and shared what they're doing, all the service, and what it's been a benefit for them, not only for their own leadership development, but kind of how they bring it back to the schools. And so I did encourage them to come to a future meeting and to meet other members here. I don't think enough of us know what it is that they've been, the service that they've been providing, but it was really impressive and I think reflected really well on our district and for our school sites in terms of the types of students that we have at those two sites that have been actively involved in the community. So really impressive. And then I also had a chance to attend APA's Joseph and the Technicolor Dream Coat, which I'm very grateful I've never seen it. I've never heard anything from it. It was perfect as a first time attendee. Absolutely stunning.
volunteered to be here.
Thank you. Since our last meeting, I did attend the PBC meeting with Trustee Hernandez, and also the several of us went to the Edison High School Innovation Lab ribbon cutting ceremony for their steelhead trout system. So I was pleased to see the good publicity that that program received. I attended CSBA's the Governor's Budget Proposal webinar, and I didn't get a lot out of that, except that my biggest concern is the huge difference in the budget projections between the legislative analyst's office and the governor's office. So where that's going to end up, who knows? But that's
the governor is always much more, how shall I say,
optimistic.
Conflated would be another word, but optimistic.
I hope it'll work out. And I also had attended the attended the Edison High School PPSA meeting.
Thank you. It's going to be really brief. So I just did want to, I attended the wellness committee along with Dr. Castry, and was really impressed with what the students had to say about it. One of the main topics was how we're improving our attendance in the district. And boy, it got me reflecting back when I was a teacher. And when I taught, I taught biology and health, among other things. But the bottom line on that was, I felt like whatever I was teaching, my class also was teaching job skills. And we know if we're going to have people that are having a positive experience in the workforce, they need to be on time, they need to participate in what's going on in class, and they need to have good attendance. And some of the comments from the students were they felt that the block schedule was really positive, because there was a day between when assignments were due. Also, that many of the teachers were giving their time in class, and given how involved they were, that was really positive. And they related that back to other students like on a regular schedule who were just overwhelmed with homework and then just didn't come because they were so overwhelmed. And I know I thought back again on that. I know they mentioned that it was really important that the homework, if it was given, should be meaningful and be related to the material that was being taught. And I know last year I had a complaint from a math student who said that he felt like tests weren't what was covered and what was taught in class, but they were, AI generated, and they weren't in line with each other, and it was very difficult to study that for that long. The other thing that was brought up, which was really good going back to COVID, was that the kids, coming through missed out, in the lower grades on time management and how important teaching, skill would also be. But one of the things that made me think, I know it always used to bother me that I feel like classroom participation and being in class is really important, and I know that, in our board overview, you're not really supposed to give credit for that or not credit. I used to give tests every day on what would happen the day before. And you couldn't take the test unless you, or the quiz unless you were there. And they just, they were bringing up that they felt that sometimes it was unfair because some of the homework that was given, kids could do just on time, they didn't get to class at all, but yet they got the same grade as people that were there all the time. And there was a fairness issue there. And again, that brought up the work-related skills to me. They asked for coordination among staff members regarding homework load, and we've all discussed that before. So, and then the last thing which they mentioned, which was more in line with the wellness enrollments overview, was they said that it was really important because they felt like they were getting novels that were triggering in some way. And I know they brought up the tagging, you know, was that last year or the beginning of last semester? I can't remember right off the top of my head. But they're very negative. You know, there's a lot of death involved. And what they were asking for is they realized that things, you know, that was out there, and we had to study about things like that. But they also wanted us to look at teachers to look at the English curriculum and introduce more positive things as well. And Dr. Castry brought up a really good point about HPVs, because those are always really positive, you know, books that are teaching really good skills, but they're also, you know, good for bringing kids up and not being really negative. And so anyway, I just was really, really impressed. I know Dr. Castro has been on that committee since it started, like 30 years or something. But I was just really, really pleased to be involved in that. And it was really good meeting the students and the parents. Really, really good.
Thank you very much. The only thing I would add from what all of my colleagues have been to, since I've been to most of them as well, is that I went to see Stranded on the Lagoon at Westminster High School, and it was really an uplifting performance by our students. It's so exhilarating to know that all of our schools have got great arts programs going, both visual and performing. At this time, then we'll move to the student board representative remarks.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Okay. Starting off, we've got Fountain Valley. Last week on Monday, January 12th, Fountain Valley hosted their Excellence Expo to showcase Barron programs and athletics for the class of 2030. And their student section in the kingdom is in the midst of their basketball season. They love decorating the stands in their blue-out camouflage and blackout attire. And then over at Edison, they're looking forward to their winter formal on the 29th with Newport Harbor, and the dance will be at Knott's Berry Farm with many rides open and exciting activities available for all the students. On January 14th, they supported their soccer team while they took on Fountain Valley. They had a special halftime at this game where their special abilities cluster students got to get involved and were highlighted. And then at Huntington Beach, their link crew hosted the fall semester cookies and cram event to support students studying for their fall exams. And they're also excited to host incoming Oiler students and their families at the upcoming Future Oiler Showcase on February 5th, starting at 5:30 in the quad. And at Marina, ASB and Marina mentors helped host Cocoa and Cram on campus for 3 days last week in order to create a friendly and helpful place for students to study and prepare for finals. We had a lot of students show up each and every day. And our community service commissioners teamed up with Livestream to host a blood drive on Tuesday, February 3rd from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Each donor receives a $10 In-N-Out gift card, and it's open to students, staff, and any member of the community, so you all are welcome to sign up if you want to. The link to sign up is found on our Instagram. And at Ocean View, with basketball season in full swing, ASB and other school programs have been out in full support of both their girls and boys basketball teams. And last Friday, they celebrated their girls on senior night, and this Thursday, they're honoring their boys on their senior night. And the winter sports rally will take place on February 6th, with the theme being Under the Sea. ASB has begun preparing spirit days, rally activities, and school-wide decorations. They look forward to celebrating their winter sports programs and having some fun. And at Westminster, they held their annual Future Lions Night on January 15th, where they provided campus tours, breakout sessions for Future Lions families, learn about their programs, and the opportunity to speak to students and staff about possible sports and programs offered at Westminster. They also held a CTE Pathways Day, where underclassmen were able to explore and learn about the many CTE pathways offered at Westminster. They had booths such as woodworking, graphic arts, and culinary, where it was both interactive and informational. And last but not least, at Valley Vista, teachers continue to collaborate with students to determine field trips that prove that classrooms have no walls. Teachers continue to collaborate with students to determine field trips that prove that classrooms have no walls. Hmm, that's interesting. January was host to trips to the... Well, sorry, this is kind of jumbled around. January, they hosted trips to the Aquarium of the Pacific, NAM, the Vans headquarters, and Santa Ana College. Each journey was an opportunity for instructors to enhance and elevate the experience of our Eagles. I understand now that the classrooms with no walls need their field trips. As the visiting board members can attest, the Snowcello Winter Festival was a blizzard of success and a celebration of the senses. Students grazed on warm churros, hot chocolate, exotic lumpia, and chilled horchata while enjoying the symphonic sounds of Shawn Lopez's rock band, who doled out as many holiday classics as one lunchtime can allow. Students relished in the opportunity to eat, drink, and be merry, take the valley to raise a child. And that is it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Okay, at this time, it's time for public communication to the board. The agenda provides that members of the public have the opportunity to address the board regarding agenda items before or during the board's consideration of the item. The agenda also provides members of the public an opportunity to address the board at regular meetings on matters which are not on the agenda but which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of this board. The board may not take any action or discuss any item not appearing on the posted agenda and cannot immediately respond to public comments. Anyone desiring to address the board should have filled out a yellow card provided at the entrance to the boardroom and submitted to the board secretary prior to the start of the meeting. If your topic relates to a particular agenda item, you have the option of requesting to be called upon at the time of the agenda item to make your remarks. 3 minutes will be allotted to each person at the time that he or she speaks. If more than three people request to speak to an issue, the number of speakers will be limited to the first, the first 10 who submit the request. This evening we only have two speakers, so they'll both get 3 minutes. The Huntington Beach Union High School District seeks to promote mutual respect, civility, and orderly conduct among district employees, parents, and the public. This policy is not intended to deprive any person of his or her right of freedom of expression, but only to maintain, to the extent possible and reasonable, a safe, harassment-free workplace for our students and staff. Individuals who require disability-related accommodations or modifications, including auxiliary aids, should have let the superintendent know prior to the meeting. This evening we have two cards. Min Lee would like to speak on the equal access groups. Come forward, please. We have 3 minutes. The timer will start when you start to speak, please. And the yellow light will come on when you just have 2 seconds left.
Good evening, President Castri and members of the board. My name is Min Lee, and I am the co-editor-in-chief of Barron Banner, Fountain Valley High School's newspaper. I am here to bring attention to our school's club regulations and seek clarification on whether these policies comply with the Equal Access Act. Since at least 2016, Fountain Valley has held equal access groups to the same standards as curricular clubs, and consequently, denying students from forming their own groups on campus if they are too similar in purpose to another. However, the Equal Access Act states that it is unlawful for public high schools to deny fair opportunity to or discriminate against students based on the content of their speech in a limited open forum, which the board has established based on Board Policy 6145. This means that if a school allows one equal access group to exist, it must allow all other groups to exist with the same privileges granted to other groups. Denying a group formation on the basis of similarity seems to violate the Equal Access Act, essentially denying students equal opportunities based on the content of their speech. Another policy is that curricular clubs are required to have a certain amount of meetings and events per semester or risk gaining strikes. One warning and three strikes results in a full disbandment, and executive members are prohibited from forming a new club on campus. However, the Equal Access Act and Board Policy 5145 states that equal access groups, all students' meetings and events should be voluntary and student-initiated. By requiring mandatory attendance at meetings or events in order to avoid strikes, it appears that students are losing the choice to decide whether or not to meet on their own account. For years, students have expressed frustrations from not being able to have their own organizations on campus. Writing the story, I have had productive discussion with our own administration, who are working on addressing this issue at Fountain Valley. Yet, this is not only happening at our school, but also at Edison and Huntington Beach. Edison currently lists policies requiring a minimum number of meetings for equal access groups and requires two members of the community to serve their community. Huntington Beach also holds regulations for monthly meeting quotas, as well as policies denying groups due to similarity in purpose. By denying students a welcoming space to take initiative, we are limiting personal growth and diminishing the impact that students could truly make on their communities. I understand a school's rationale for limiting the amount of clubs on campus. However, when such regulations are being used to limit students' freedom of speech and assembly and to prevent students from pursuing genuine passions, it becomes necessary to ensure student groups in fact enjoy equal access. As a representative for Student Voices on Campus, I respectfully request the board to quickly revisit these policies at all schools in the district in order to protect all student voices and those of our future generations, so they too have an inclusive, uplifting space to thrive on campus. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Hi, Trin.
My name is V. Tran, and I'm the president and founder of Action Archive, a film and media club where students are offered service hours in exchange for digital media. I am here today to share my experience in getting my Equal Access Club approved and how process discourages students towards cultivating a community and pursuing passions on campus. My goal is to offer students at SE a space to nurture their creativity without the stress and additional responsibility of the class. Action Archive, originally named Egregious Action, was initially rejected in 2024 due to its perceived similarity to the class here in Broadcast News, also known as CBN. After this initial rejection, CBN's advisor, Mr. Sean Zeeborg, sent an appeal email explaining the differences between my proposed club and the video class. This resulted in acceptance of the club, only for it to be rejected again a day later because, quote, there was a misunderstanding of information without any further explanation. In an email sent to me, a representative of BSC explained the reason for the rejection. Quote, we believe that FHS Action is similar to BDN and Garangan, where they also teach students about photography, videography, and editing. We encourage you to reach out to these programs and share any ideas you may have and would like to implement. I followed ASB's suggestion to share and implement my ideas with the video class, and so we made Action Archive a branch of BDN. This, however, was not received well by ASB. They threatened to take away Action Archive's posters at Club Rush and told us that we were not allowed to participate, contradicting their directions of integrating ideas. We came to an agreement to rename Action Archive into BDN Action Archive, which allowed us to participate again. This was not a problem until 3/4 of the way into the school year. The administrator had a sudden change of heart and told Mr. Zeeborg to inform me that I was no longer allowed to use the name Action Archive anywhere on campus or social media. Another administrator then pulled out two of my board members from their classes and directed them to delete all social media, including the name Action Archive. It wasn't until I had a sit-down conversation with our principal describing Action Archive's uniqueness and positive impacts towards the student body that we allowed it to exist in the following school year. The constant confusion and harassment I received in Fountain Valley High School had not only caused frustration and stress, but demotivated and distracted me from my original purpose giving students space to nurture their creativity. As one student told Darren Banner, quote, the problem is that FHS cuts students off from the start, disallowing any passion to grow. If our students are in an environment where taking initiative isn't worth it, a especially the initiative to bridge an educational gap, and FEHS is doing something wrong. That is why I call upon the school board to take action and fix this process, because frustration has replaced passion in too many students. Thank you for your time and for your service to my fellow students.
Thank you very much, Ms. Trent. Okay, at this time, I'd ask for the superintendent's comments. Dr. Navarro?
Thank you very much. I would like to thank our students, staff, and parents for a wonderful first semester. I know that you all are in the middle of finals, and I know that for our students, not so much our staff, it can be a very stressful time. So we wish you all the best during this time. I know last week I was at Fountain Valley High School at one of the basketball games, and you all were doing Coco and Cram. There were 351 students there, so shows the dedication of our students and staff. So good luck to all of our students and our teachers in grading those finals. Also, January marks Board Member Appreciation Month, and I would like to thank our five board members for your dedication, your engagement, and your decision-making that has made this district what it is today. And we all know that we are solvent. We have many programs for our kids, many opportunities, and we do have the best staff in the world, I believe. So that makes for us having the best students in the world. And I see our students all across this country, wherever I go. Somebody's gone to Edison or Fountain Valley or Huntington, you know as well, and they always say, I had the best experience at whatever high school they've gone to. So thank you for your continued engagement, your continued foresight, and everything you do for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ogata, and I think on behalf of my colleagues on the board, we thank you for those words. At this time, we'll have a staff presentation by a new staff member, Dr. Amy Herrera. Amy, congratulations on your marriage, and we wish you all the very best.
I think my first name is a little unique. Well, no, it's not. Okay. Good evening, everyone. President Castry, Board of Trustees, Dr. Ogata, staff, and guests. My name is Amy Herrera now, formerly Tony Matsu, as you all are aware. And I will be presenting the Local Control and Accountability Plan mid-year update this evening. So the mid-year update was first introduced as part of the annual activities related to LCAP development and reporting in the 23-24 school year. Every local educational agency in California is required to present a report on or before February 28th year. This provides us an opportunity to conduct a mid-year review of our current LCAP. The updates include available mid-year implementation and available mid-year outcome data based on the current year's LCAP. Mid-year expenditure reporting is aligned with the first interim report as of October 31st, which was presented in detail at our last board meeting. Our district LCAP contains four goals and 32 categories of action. In preparation of this presentation, implementation highlights were compiled with the input of our district cabinet leadership team. Goal one focuses on our core district system. To start with a few highlights from human resources, we have maintained positive momentum with our strategic hiring practices, which involves cross-departmental input. We have reduced the number of outstanding classified vacancies down to 30 per month by promoting our part-time vacancies, conducting weekly testing, and leveraging social media. And we have continued to promote our classified professional growth and classified credentialing program to all our permanent classified employees. In the area of technology, we accomplished some major projects, including the upgrade of the district phone system for enhanced staff and student safety, and we have distributed new staff laptops district-wide. And one more, which is a crossover between technology and data and assessment, we have initiated the implementation of a new district-wide student assessment system. In the area of data and assessment, we have implemented intentional data discussions across various groups, administrators, teacher leaders, district teams, and committees for consistency and to facilitate a common understanding as a foundation of what we do. In the area of professional development, we continue to have a focus on training teachers as we revisit standards, and we work to create a scope and sequence for core teachers in English, Algebra 1 and 2, Geometry, World History, U.S. History, Biology, Chemistry, and Physics. Additional subjects will be offered this opportunity as well. Administrators have also participated in monthly professional development sessions on student ownership and have been trained in standards for the core subject areas as well, and have been introduced to the newly developed school system. New teacher induction program also continues to be a highlight for our teachers in the program, as well as the coaches who support those new teachers. Lastly, in goal one, our MTSS team had an intentional focus on tier one supports, which are the strategies and supports that are offered to all students at the classroom level before referring students to the next level of supports in tier two. This is one of the teams who has also been diving deeper into our data, looking at attendance and A-G completion rates, as well as other metrics, to identify needs that need to be addressed through our work. In goal two, we have school programs and services for all student populations that will support college and career readiness. One of the key highlights is our transition to increased supports from school counselors to provide academic, social, and college career support to all students. For English learner programs, we continue to advance our multi-year plan with building the capacity of in-house certified presenters for both constructive meaning and systematic ELD, which helps to ensure long-term sustainability. I saw one of our in-house coaches here in the audience today. We continue to offer a comprehensive offering of advanced placement AP classes based on student interest and future credentialing, and international baccalaureate IB program continues to also be a major focus at Ocean View. Westminster High School was revalidated this year as a AVID national demonstration site. That's an honor that was first established in the 2014-15 school year and has been maintained. We have also started the attendance recovery program this year to help students who are struggling with attendance while connecting to academic support. We have also improved data connections with county systems, so our foster youth are identified as accurately as possible so that we can provide them with timely support. Goal three, this is our wellness and overall climate goal. One of our goal three highlights is the work of our district's wellness committee. The committee is made up of various stakeholders, including board members, site staff, food and nutrition services, students, and parents. Committee provides insights and makes suggestions to improve the overall wellness for all students. We've heard from many of our partners that it is important to maintain our existing wellness resources for students and staff while we continue to monitor effectiveness and address needs. Mental health specialists, psychologists, and counselors are all available for the students for social emotional support and wellness. Our district also continues to utilize Hazel Health and Care Solace to provide mental health supports for students who have more long-term care needs. In goal three, we also highlight opportunities for engagement of our educational partners, and therefore we have added a new Superintendent Advisory Council with our ASB presidents representing the school. We also want to thank and appreciate the continued engagement of the PTSA Council, LCAP Committee, and DLAC, where we have had some very focused discussions on topics that have emerged as areas of need and of areas of strength. We should also recognize the new leadership that we have elected on the DLAC. Our very own parents, who now help to facilitate these meetings as parents, now serve as president, vice president, and representative. From the business office and maintenance and operations, we have some routine maintenance of facilities, as well as highlighted facilities projects that were completed. So I'm going to go down this list. We appreciate all of that. At Coast, accessible walkways, electrical fire alarm, and data connections. At Edison, student bike rack extension, landscaping, added walkway, synthetic turf for lunchtime activities use. At Fountain Valley South parking lot driveway configuration for safety, fire alarm recertification, painted walkways, at Huntington Beach new water bottle filling stations, at Marina lockers and curb removal, at Ocean View tennis court resurfacing, parking lot flurry and stripping, painting the quad area at Westminster, dance floor installation, and painted gym, and here at the district office for the year. Went through that fast because it's a lot. Well, you're familiar with all of it, but just wanted to make a little summary of some of those major projects that have been completed by our team. And for goal four, I reached out to Mr. Wolfman and Mr. Villalobos to capture their top highlights because our VISTA, as an equity multiplier identified school, they do have their own LCAP goal. And Valley Vista has added this year a new weekly advisory period as an MTSS Tier 1 universal support system, which they believe will improve grad rates by providing them with a built-in support for early identification, consistent monitoring, and relational support. They've also enhanced their attendance expectations for their after-school targeted intervention program to strengthen student participation. They know that improved attendance directly supports consistent credit acquisition, contributing to higher graduation rates. And their student support facilitator continues to work collaboratively with the principal to monitor student progress, create plans for student success, and develop interventions and engagement opportunities. And something they're especially proud of this year is the work of their MTSS team, which collaboratively creates weekly curriculum for teachers and students for that advisory period. And the school is also committed to maintaining their wellness initiatives, including partnerships with agencies to support social-emotional, mental, behavioral, nutritional, and physical wellness. I know those last four slides were densely packed with many great highlights, and I guarantee there are so many more great actions and strategies that I probably did not mention too numerous to detail here today. But we are so very grateful for the efforts of the staff involved in supporting our LCAP actions and for the support of this board for all that we have been able to accomplish. Mid-year outcome data is the next section of this report, and this will provide an overview of the district's results from the most recent 2025 California dashboard. So this dashboard serves as the state's accountability system, and we review this today, which you may have heard before in other committee meetings. It is part of our LCAP development process, required to use all dashboard metrics to identify strengths and areas of need, including both at the school and student group level. It is part of our LCAP mid-year report. The dashboard publicly reports on performance of six state measures using a five-color performance level. Performance levels range from red, representing very low performance, to blue, which is very high performance. And each performance level is determined by two factors, current year performance on the indicator, as well as change over time, which is the difference between the current year and the prior year. As a high school district, we will report on five of the six indicators today, as Arnica and Susan is only for K-8 district. First of the five is the dashboard academic indicator, reported using a measure called distance from standard, or DFS. This represents the average number of points students score above or below the standard net level on the SBAC. This slide reporting the average distance from standard across all tested students. When we look at our district's results, we can see our district performs above the state average in both English language arts and mathematics. It's also important to note that the California comparison includes all tested grades 3 through 8 and 11 because the dashboard doesn't allow us to filter just to high school only. But Huntington Beach's performance compares favorably to the state. The next indicator is our English Learner Progress Indicator, or ELPI. Our indicator reflects the percentage of current English learners who either made progress in English language proficiency or maintained the highest level of proficiency, as measured by our state's annual assessment, which is called the LTAC. For our district, 42.9% of English learners either progressed or maintained the highest level. And based on this result, we're currently assigned a yellow performance level. This represents an improvement of 3.2% from the prior year's dashboard. We are making progress, going in the right direction. The 2025 dashboard graduation rate indicator is next. which is based on the combined 4-year and 5-year graduation rate. That is counting those who earn a standard high school diploma. Our district earned a green performance level, and when we compare our results to the state, we can highlight that we're performing well above the state average. On the right side of the slide, you can see our graduation rates over time, and our rates have remained consistently high. Our next state standard is the College and Career Indicator, or CCI, which is designed to measure how well high schools are preparing students for success after high school, whether that be college, career, or both. Our district earned a green performance level with 61% of students demonstrating preparedness compared to 51.7% statewide. The CCI is one of the most complex indicators, as students can demonstrate preparedness through multiple pathways and combinations. And as a high school district, this is especially important as it reflects the cumulative impact of the programs and opportunities our students engage in throughout their time with us. And so therefore, I've added a couple extra slides for this particular metric to just show what those different pathways are. This first slide is demonstrating college readiness. The key takeaway here really is that students only need to meet one of these measures to be counted as prepared. The intent is to recognize those multiple pathways of readiness that students can be involved in throughout their time with us. And the pathways are set by the state, and they do evolve over time. And by example, the AP this year, they added coursework, not only the test, to qualify as college readiness. This slide shows the career readiness pathway of the CCI indicator. And as with college readiness slide, the key thing here is that students only need to meet one pathway. So either on this slide or the previous one, they would be considered prepared on the CCI of the dashboard. I realize I clicked to the next slide already. The fifth and final indicator is the suspension rate indicator, which shows the percentage of students suspended at least one full day. We earned a green performance level here as well, with 2.1% of students suspended compared to 2.9% statewide. Please note, the statewide suspension rate is data from K-12. We do not filter out high school only. So on the right-hand side, we've added that. It's a slightly different calculation, which includes partial day suspension, but it's aggregated to just 912 at the state, county, and district level. So the comparison data here is also posted. To conclude, we'd like to thank the board once again for your continued engagement in the work and support of the LCAP development process. We have two more committee meetings. Then we complete that 26-27 LCAP draft, which will be presented at the first board meeting in June on June 9th, and subsequently presented for adoption at the second board meeting in June 23rd. So this mid-year update was an opportunity to reflect on the year to this point, and will serve to support our ongoing discussions with our LCAP committee and our district leadership. Thank you once again. This concludes the presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Herrera.
Are there any questions? Yes, Dr. Fisher.
A couple of comments. One, of course, I want to say how pleased I am with the thoroughness of this report and the ease with which the reader can follow it and understand it. And secondly, there are a lot of elements here, but one that I always look at is mathematics. And Dr. Murray and all of the staff, I just want you to know how pleased I am to see incremental growth in mathematics. That seems to be a really difficult area. I always thought mathematics is the universal language, and it seems like that would be the easiest one to see growth. But for some reason, that's been very difficult. But I'm just pleased to see growth there. So congratulations.
Are there any questions for Dr. Herrera?
Thank you very much.
Okay, next on the agenda is business, the 24-25 annual financial report that was in our background information, so that we had that to review. This is on for action. If, okay, if the motion's made by Ms. Carey to accept it and seconded by Mrs. Henry. Is there any discussion of the background information in the agenda? Okay, please vote. All in favor are 5. Thank you very much. Okay, next is the consent calendar. Are there any items that should be pulled from consent? None. Is there a motion to adopt the consent calendar? Dr. Dishno made the motion. Ms. Hernandez seconded it. Please vote. 5-0. Thank you very much. We then are at the end of the consent calendar and ready for new business.
I have no new business.
Well, I know this past year we moved Coast High School from one campus to another, and we've been doing a lot of things up there to get it in place. And I'm just wondering if at some point later in the year we might be able to get a report of just exactly what we did and what the cost was for that transition and how it's going.
For sure. We're very proud of where we are and where we're going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just have one thing, and that is the limited open forum. It seems to me that we were there in about 1990, and I wonder if we could just have a staff update at some point when it's convenient with the workload to let us know what's going on with it, because at that time, if my memory is correct, we had over 2,000 groups that were meeting on our various campuses. And had we not done the limited open forum and closed the forum, we would have closed down so many activities. So we kept the limited open forum at that time. But I'm just curious as to how that's changed since it probably was 1990, maybe 92, somewhere in that time frame. Thank you. Dr. Ogata, do you have any new business?
No, thank you.
Okay. Dr. Bryan?
No, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Green? Dr. Murray?
No, thank you.
Okay, that concludes then the open portion of our meeting. We are going back into closed session to complete the discussion of, let me get to my closed session agenda here, of the public employee appointment, assignment, reassignment, discipline, dismissal, release, and negotiations. Thank you very much. We'll note the time that we complete the closed session.